laying on of hands. Believers in churches who have not learned the importance of this ministry and have not yet become intentionally involved in its practice will be severely limiting the ministry of the Holy Spirit, both in their lives and in their church family. A lot of churches, because we don't understand what this is, we do without some of the grace and some of the help that the Holy Spirit would bring into our relationships. And hopefully, the Lord will help us unpack this morning. I want to ask you to turn to your neighbor. Everybody's pretty much seated by somebody. If you're not, turn around and look behind you and say, "This message is for me." Come on. Say, "This message is for me." Now turn back and look at them again and say, "No, really. Really, this message for me." Okay, now do this with me. Do this. Put your hands up here like this, like you're grabbing hold of something, and go like this. And say, "Today," say that one, "today, I'm going to be stretched by the gospel, by the truth of God's word." Okay, are y'all ready? Okay, let's read our text. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 13. As the Holy Spirit stretches us a bit this morning, and I dare say it's going to increase our faith and our expectancy this morning. Mark 10, beginning with verse 13. "And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter at all.' And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them." Let's pray together. Lord, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you would breathe upon these texts. You would breathe upon our hearts. And you would open the eyes of our hearts and of our understanding. Deal with our stubborn, self-protective ways. And bring us into a place of understanding and of participation in this beautiful ministry of lending a hand in faith to our needy brothers and sisters. Show us, teach us, envision us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's embarrassing to realize how much the disciples, we're just reading here, how much the disciples were missing God's heart and mission. They were missing it so badly. Did you see that? People were bringing little ones, the weak ones, insignificant people, little ones, to Jesus. And the disciples were actually, it says, rebuking them as if they're doing something wrong. The disciples were missing it. It's embarrassing, but you know what? I'm a lot like them. I think we're a lot like them. And before we're done, maybe we can see that. But you know, the disciples were looking at things outwardly, weren't they? They were very, very outward focused. They were very, they were politically minded. They were culturally minded. They were, you know, they saw themselves probably more as messianic schedulers or messianic marketers. Because they needed to make a big splash. Jesus was making a big splash. And the more momentum they could get going, the more change they could bring about. They could change Jerusalem. They could change the culture. They might could even throw off Rome off their backs. And people that had no influence, no power, no position, nothing to add to the movement, weren't seen as essential to what's going on. We've got bigger fish to fry than this. And Jesus sees what they're doing. They're rebuking the very ones that Jesus came to touch. And it says he was indignant. It means he was ticked off. I don't want to be in that role. I have been, I'm sure, many times in my life. But I don't want to be in the role of offending the heart of Jesus in the midst of his ministry. So I think there's a lot for us to glean from this passage this morning, if we will allow the Lord to speak to us. So Jesus then, after rebuking the disciples, took time to touch, embrace, lay hands on, and bless every child that was brought to him that day. And he says there in verse 15, he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." That means you, that means me. If we don't enter, if we don't understand what's being taught here, if we don't understand the essence of what Jesus is showing us in this passage, the essence of God's kingdom, we may be in danger of completely missing out. There's a lot to learn here. So let's see what we. I think you could summarize that verse 15 like this. Jesus saying, if you don't learn what it is that's happening here, you will have no part in my kingdom. Unless you begin to perceive your own inner heart needs and allow me to touch you there, you really have not entered my kingdom yet. Unless you begin to perceive your need like a little child can and be open about it. So consider some lessons from some things we can learn from this example. Related to children especially, because he's bringing this. He said, unless you become like a child, unless you begin to realize some things. So think with me for just a few minutes here. How naturally a small child can own and express her or his needs, weaknesses, struggles, and hurts. They have to grow up. They have to be around us grown-ups for several years before they learn to start pretending. But little ones are just quick. They got a boo-boo, they're going to let you know it, aren't they? They're going to come running with it. They don't pretend they're not hurting when they're hurting. They're not embarrassed to show vulnerability and weakness. Their security is in the nearness, the touch, if you will, in the face of mommy and daddy. That's where their security is, not in other things. They don't manipulate appearances for reputation's sake. Instead, they're genuine, real, transparent. Even their selfishness, get this, even a little child's selfishness, and there's plenty of it, isn't there? Even their selfishness is unguarded. Because we see their moral struggles right out in the open. They're not even trying to pretend. And we go, oh, I can't believe he did that to his little sister. He just, I mean, right out in the open, just popped her or whatever. You know, it's like, how? Well, even their sin, they're not hiding it. Well, us adults, we learn how to do it secretly. We learn how to put on our mask and give it another name, don't we? Our jealousies and our resentment and our lusts and our ambitions and our bitterness and our all these things, we cover it up and pretty it up and call it some other name. But consider even when a little child's sin is exposed, how quick they are to run back to mommy or daddy for comfort, correction, and resolution. Even when they're in trouble, how quick they are to come back and be comforted. Maybe they've just gotten, you know, punished in some way or disciplined in some way. So much we can learn. Little ones are often unable to get to Jesus without help, without a lending hand. Someone stronger or more healthy must lend a hand to get them into position for the blessing. It says they were bringing their little ones to Jesus so that he might touch them and bless them. They were of a category of people that were weak enough that they couldn't put themselves at that point in their life, at that place in their life, could not put themselves adequately in position to receive what the Lord had for them, and they needed a lending hand. They needed someone to help them. Now, this is the very foundation for the body-wide ministry of the laying on of hands that we've been talking about. And yes, Jesus is actually laying on hands here, but there are principles here that we're going to bring out that's going to hopefully will help us see this, and it'll become more obvious why we all need to be involved to some level, to some degree. You and I are close to childlikeness when we no longer are willing to keep hiding our hurts, brokenness, and problems. And when we realize that being helped and comforted often involves Jesus using his people to touch us, to help us. Not just me alone with Jesus always, getting all my needs met, isolated, independently of the body. Jesus does that. We have our encounters one-on-one with the Lord. We all start there. But then he brings us into a body. He brings us into a family. But if we're not vulnerable, if we're not open, if we're not honest, if we don't get close enough to one another, we never get this supply, this support that could be ours. It's a form of grace that God gives us through his members, through his body. And we miss out on it. Beautiful illustration here. I thought it was really fitting for a Veterans Day weekend. Supposedly a true story. A wounded soldier returned from Vietnam. I'll get emotional reading this. Y'all know how I am. A wounded soldier returned from Vietnam. He was in critical condition. He was blind. His mind was clouded and his body was mangled. They brought him back to the States. from Nam. His mother traveled over 2,000 miles to be by his bedside. As soon as she entered the hospital room, she laid her hand on his brow without saying a word. Instantly, he said, "Mother, is that you? It must be you." She hadn't spoken, but he knew the tender touch of her hand. Now, that's a touch of a mother's hand. But it shows there's something vital about humanity. God put flesh on us, on our spirits. We're not just spirits. We're spirits that live in bodies. We're physical beings. And that's part of who we are. And touch is vital. Little ones who get touched in the nursery, babies who experience that kind of comfort and stuff, do better. A child who's never touched and loved suffers. Isn't it so? These are just practical examples, but we're talking even deeper spiritual things here. That's the way it is with God. You can't see Him, but you can feel His touch upon your life if you're vulnerable enough to acknowledge your need and open your heart to Him. We may hear no audible word from Him, yet we leave His presence calmed and consoled like a little child. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And we'll take a little time in this text this morning as we hopefully put some wheels on this, beginning with verse 18. Luke 5, 18. "And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him," in front of Jesus. "But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles." They opened up, busted through the roof, and let him down with the stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Verse 20, "Seeing their faith, Jesus said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven you.' The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them," now he's speaking to the self-righteous religionists, the Pharisees here. He says, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins have been forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic. So he turns to the crippled man and speaks to him again and says, "I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher and go home." Immediately got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. They were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things in our lives today." This is an amazing story about how the faith of other believers can tangibly help us, you, me, receive a touch from the Lord. Do you see that? We all need a gospel posse in our lives. You know what a posse is? Posse is people that help round up somebody. A posse. We all need a gospel posse. We all need some people that we can trust and that love us enough that can come alongside when we're weak, when we're needy. And we need to be a part of that posse in other people's lives. Amen? Can I have a better amen? Thank you. Thank you very much. Verse 18 and 19 there. We see this desperate man let down by his friends. You know, they've carried him. They've got a hold of this guy. And they've lent a helping hand. They brought him. And now they've let him down in the presence of Jesus. And he was apparently was completely unable at that point to get to where Jesus was because of his condition. You know, it's possible for us to be in a place, let me just say this, physically, for obviously, but emotionally, spiritually, to be in a place where we're so bound up, so injured, that we can't seem to get a hold of God. We can't seem to believe. We're so discouraged. And we need someone to lend us courage. That's what it means to encourage others. It means to give them courage. We need someone to lend us grace, to lend us faith when we're weak. The body can do that for one another. That's what they did for this guy, didn't they? They lent him faith, help, grace. He didn't need scorning. He needed help. You say, "Well, I bet maybe his life was a real mess." It probably was. He might have been a real character. I don't know. We're not told what happened. May have been lived a wonderful outward life. We don't know. We're not told that. But he was apparently unable to get to Jesus in his condition. He needed help, not scorning. He needed lending hands of mercy, not judgment. He needed to borrow some grace, didn't he? These friends, by their faithful touch and participation, literally positioned this weak one into the place of an encounter with Jesus. Y'all see that? Yeah. Now look at verse 20. It says, Jesus, seeing their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. Seeing their faith, he said, the needy man experienced special grace from Jesus through the faith of the lending hands of his friends. Jesus saw their faith and spoke a word of healing to that man. You see that? Seeing their faith. He saw what they were doing on behalf of their weak friend and responded to their faith and spoke, touched the struggling one. I wonder if you've ever experienced that. I hope you have. If you haven't, I hope not too many weeks, days or weeks or months pass from now where you can say, I know what that is. I know what that is. You know, God wants us to get to the place in our life where we can actually live this stuff out, where we have a similar experience. We read about something happened. The gospel says, yeah, I know what that is. Not just here, not just because I learned it in Sunday school. I have experienced a touch from God because some people love me enough to come alongside me and touch me and love me and embrace me when I was struggling and I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know how to get out of the mess, but they touched me and God touched me. Amen? If I get a little stirred up, it's because I have walked in this. I've lived in this. I've seen it. We're going to share a few stories here in a minute of some of those. He experienced grace, miracle grace from Jesus through the faith, through the lending hands of this gospel posse. Their immediate tangible touch opened the door for Jesus to do an intangible miracle. Jesus spoke to the man's heart, relieving him of a great burden of sin, guilt, and condemnation. He said, my son, my friend, your sins are forgiven you. What had he been carrying in his soul? We're not told. Why did Jesus start there? Well, he started there because that's where it needed to start for this guy. Now, many people he healed, he didn't save. He didn't address their sin. He just healed them. But this guy, he starts with his heart, didn't he? What had he been carrying in his soul? We're not told. How long had he been carrying that weight in his soul? We're not told. What relation did his sin have to his outward condition, his physical weakness? We're not told. It seems to be implied that perhaps his physical condition was symptomatic of something that was going on the inside. It's not always the case, but it appears that maybe in this case it was. And trust me, in my life there have been seasons where it definitely was, and in yours too, whether you recognize it or not. There are times when God's dealing with our hearts and we're not responding and some outward circumstances get tougher because God loves us too much to leave us in that place of being hardened to Him. Don't miss the precursor, though, to this miracle. Four friends, by lending a hand in faith, helped bring him into an atmosphere with a miraculous touch from Jesus, where a miraculous touch from Jesus was possible. Four friends lent him faith through touch, and he heard from the Lord, and God touched his heart. I hope you've experienced this lending and borrowing of grace. You may not have seen it in such terms, but I bet you've experienced it. I bet you've encountered some support or help. Maybe it was a thoughtful card someone gave, or just a thoughtful word, or someone did something that just was timely, that just ministered to you and said, it just helped you know you're not forgotten and helped you feel comfort from God through what they did. It's very biblical. It's a foundational ministry the church mostly ignored, forgotten or ignored. Sometimes we're the lenders, sometimes we're the borrowers, but we're always to be partners together. One evening I got a call from a church member. And she said, we got a critical issue. Can you just come, Pastor? I said, okay. I didn't know what I was getting into. Got over to the house, and this lady, who was a very thoughtful member of our church, her son-in-law, who was not a church member, was not a believer, was there. And evidently, I didn't know this about him, but I learned he was a drug addict. And he was coming off of something, and he was in withdrawals. And he was shaking and sweating profusely and just melting down. And they were all, they didn't want him to go back out into drugs, and they didn't know what to do. And called me as if I would know what to do. An old pig farmer cowboy from West Texas never had any dealings with any of that stuff. I had no idea what to do. So I sent up an SOS. Lord, I don't know what to do. And I just felt like the Lord said, just lay your hand on him and speak my peace. So I walked over to that boy and I put my hand on his head. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I release peace to you, my friend. Peace be to you in the name of Jesus. And no sooner had I said that, that shaking just kind of went down like that. He just went like that. And I'm not knowing what's going on. I don't think I fully even understood it was drug related. I didn't know if it was a demon or something or what. It could have been both. I don't know. But all I know, there was a touch there. And let me tell you, in about 2 weeks' time, that boy had received Jesus, had accepted Jesus, had turned his back on his life of sin, and I baptized him there in the presence of the saints. And all, I didn't know what to do, but I did what the Bible says. I did like Jesus. I just laid my hands on him and I spoke a blessing of peace. You know, when the storm came up, they're freaking out. They're out on the boat and Jesus says, peace. Let me tell you, if all of nature is under the command of Jesus, some trembling in a physical body coming off of drugs, trust me, that ranks under Jesus too. And if Jesus says peace, there'll be peace. Now, I'm not saying we can just walk around indiscriminately and command this and that. Some people act like that's name it, claim it, stuff. No. But as the Lord directs us, as the Lord leads us, and we say what He's really telling us to say in that moment, it's not just you saying it, it's God saying it. It's not just your hand stretching out, but it's the mighty hand of God. The hand of God was with them, it says in the book of Acts. The hand of God was with them. When was it with them? As they went, as they moved, as they laid their hands on, as they spoke the gospel, God was doing it. That's the thing about the body of Christ. It's actually His body. He's living through the members. This is real. Amen? It is real. One day in church, we're having a kind of like our prayer, our testimony times. Does anybody have a testimony or pray? And a couple of people had some testimonies that morning. And then a first-time guest, I'd never seen him, didn't know the guy. Small town, I usually knew everybody, so I didn't know who this guy was. He stands up and barely takes a breath before he starts spewing bitterness about somebody. It wasn't anybody in our church, but it was somebody else in his life. And he was just spewing this pain and bitterness and ugliness about how wrong they had done him. And you could just feel, it's like ice came over the congregation. You could just feel it. You know, and he's standing up and just going on. I'm thinking, oh my, we've got, what do I do? What do I do? I sent up an SOS. Lord, I don't know what to do. And I just felt like the Lord said, lay hands on him and speak peace. And I just said, sir, just a minute. I said, I think we all can see you're hurting. You're really hurting. Man, you've been run over and left on the side of the road. He goes, I sure, you know what I have. And I said, you know what? God is the solution for you. God can heal you. And I said, friends, family, let's gather around. And several people around him gathered around, and we laid hands on them, and we spoke peace. Lord, we just pray you heal this man and bring peace to his soul. I never saw him again. So I don't know what happened. But I know one thing. When we laid hands and we spoke peace, the atmosphere changed immediately from that ice that to the sense that everybody goes, yeah, we have something he needs. We'll lend it to him. Now, what he did with that, I don't know. I trust that that was a divine appointment for him and he's serving the Lord today. I don't know. But these things can happen if we will just trust the Lord. Rank and file, not just preachers, each of us. Amen? We are actually commanded in the New Testament to call for and to participate in this sort of tangible hands-on ministry. All right, let's close with James 5, 14 through 16. says this, is anyone among you sick? King James, I think, says afflicted. Is anyone among you, literally means weak, disabled, struggling, or sick. Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is afflicted, who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer, or the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, can accomplish much. Powerful text out of the Epistle of James, meant for the entire body of Christ. This one another means you and me. It's for us. He says, if anyone is afflicted, if you're in a place of need, of struggle, of weakness, and you don't know what's happening, how to get out, call for some mature ones to come, to gather. Get your gospel posse and let them gather around you. It requires humility, doesn't it? It's interesting, just before, in the chapter before, James says, God is opposed. He resists the pride, the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In this scenario, who are the humble ones? The humble ones are those who see their need. Instead of hiding it, instead of denying it, instead of pretending, they actually call for help. They call in the posse. They call in the body. They call in alone. And that's what happens. It requires humility, but grace is promised to us if we'll humble ourselves. Confessing our faults, needs, struggles, sins, temptations in a confidential, appropriate setting, and praying for one another can bring us into an atmosphere of healing and breakthrough. We have God's promise right here, don't we? We have His promise. It says it right here. This is for us. It's not even the book of Acts. This is written way after that. This is for all of us. If you don't have trusted, discreet, godly people in your life, a gospel posse that you can get deeply honest and vulnerable with, and who will lay hands on and pray with you, ask God to give them to you. And be ready to be the answer to someone else's prayer. Be ready to be in the posse for someone else. Notice in verse 16, it says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The context there was some mature people in the church going to a needy person, anointing them with oil, laying hands on them, and praying for healing. That was the initial thing. But then he backs off and says, okay, but let's open up and be honest with one another about our struggles. And not just pray only for physical needs. Let's get to the heart level. Just like that guy was let down through the roof, here's the physical need, and Jesus dealt with it. But first he said, your sins are forgiven, didn't he? I remember years ago, I was asked to go with a gospel posse, a church member, called the pastor, who was a friend of mine, and it was a church I grew up in. I was an ordained guy, single guy, visiting at home with my parents on that weekend when this happened. The pastor who was ordained me called me, hey, I heard you're in town, Dave, would you come and go with us? So I got invited to go with this gospel posse of three or four church men, and the southern pastor and I went to a church member's house who was down in his back in a hospital bed in his house in tremendous pain, and he had gotten a hold of this text, had read it and thought, he needed relief, he needed help. And so he called, he did this. So here we came. And it says, confess your faults one another. So the pastor, so much senior to me, wise man, he said to this guy, let's just call him Dick, wasn't his name. He said, Dick, is there anything in your life? Is there sin? Is there something you're struggling with? Is there something that's not right? Something that's bothering you? Anything in your life that you even wonder, maybe some of this has happened because of this? He said, there he is. He said, what is it? He says, well, he said, I work for the state for years as a counselor in social services. And he said, and interesting, ladies, that y'all all here today. I didn't plan this ahead of time. But He said, I worked in social services. Anybody who works in public education or social service, you can relate to this. And he said, all those years, and he's retired by now. He said, all these years, people would come, and I would see people, some people with desperate needs. And I knew that what they really needed was Jesus. The state had, you know, some resources to bring, but they would just touch the outward person. I knew they really needed more, but I felt my hands tied because professionally I was in the role to carry out what the state was doing. They weren't paying me to preach the gospel to these people. And now I'm saying a lot more than he said, because I worked for the state for a number of years too and struggled with this very thing. And would feel guilty when I was not giving people the gospel in my official capacity representing the state. Till the Lord set me free and showed me, just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego working in Babylon, they were not preaching their gospel to everybody. They practiced it, but when they were serving in the courts of the king, they carried out what the king was asking them to do, but yet they did it in their own way. They still had their testimony, but they were not promoting teachings, Hebrew teachings, to these Babylonians. And this guy was carrying this weight of false guilt that all these people had suffered because of him, because he didn't give them the gospel. And we told him, I said, brother, first off, maybe there were some times when you could have and you didn't. And trust me, for all of us, that's the case. But you weren't being paid to do that on state time. But you have your own time. We have our own time. Don't we? We have breaks. We have after work. We have other times where we can follow up sometimes or what, if the Lord's leading us, if we see that opportunity. So, and we mentored this guy and helped him unload a world of false guilt that he was carrying around. Now, that could have been something that he did that was sinful that he shared, and we could have helped him unload that guilt too. Because true guilt gets covered by the blood of Jesus, doesn't it? And false guilt gets exposed and delivered by the cross of Jesus too. The solution for it all is Jesus. And so he shared that, and we were able to affirm him. I said, brother, God's not punishing you. This is not God punishing you for that stuff. That's not God. If he wanted to punish you, he wouldn't have sent Jesus in to take your punishment at the cross. The light came on for him. And then the pastor said, does anyone discern how we should pray? How should we specifically, we're going to lay hands on this brother, how should we pray? And the oldest deacon, Brother Bob, is with the Lord now. He said, I just have this strong feeling that God wants us to pray that the pain is taken away. And my daddy was in the group. He says, I felt the same thing, Bob. I agree. And no more had Bob said, God wants us to pray that the pain is taken away. And my daddy said, I agree in Jesus' name. I think that's what God's saying. All of a sudden, Dick's laying in that bed, and all of a sudden, his eyes goes like this. He pushes himself up, and he goes, pulls himself out of bed. He gets up, and he goes, it's gone. It's gone. The pain's gone. Just the presence of God came in that room. We got down on our knees, and we just began to worship the Lord. Because God came and touched this guy. Now, full disclosure, God relieved this guy of some serious pain in that moment that never came back. But he still had an actual back injury that he had surgery for sometime later. So he didn't get everything healed and removed, and probably not all the pain, but that excruciating, debilitating pain, God helped him. Now, am I saying, because of that, if you have debilitating pain in your life, it's because you're carrying some secret guilt in your life? I'm not saying that, but it could be. If there are some issues on the inside of you that you're not dealing with, related to yourself, related to the body of Christ, related to God's will, and you're not dealing with it, that can open the door to some things, not from God. You remember? Woman bent over all those years, remember? And it was caused by a spirit, it says. Now, does that mean every back pain is caused by a spirit? No, absolutely not. But for her, it was. That's where the body can come in. We don't even know. It's a lot of times we don't know. So we don't have to know. We just can love and pray for one another. And comfort will come. You know what? When the little one bangs up their knee, scuffs their knee, and they come running to mommy, and you want me to kiss your boo-boo, and they say, yeah. Now, I'm not trying to be silly here. But you kiss that little one's boo-boo. Is it better? Mommy make it better. Is it better? What do they say? Yeah. Is this play like? No. It makes it better. Now, does it take it all away? No. But it brings a comfort. It brings a peace that wasn't there before because there's a sharing in that suffering. And when someone shares your burden with you, your burden's lighter. Isn't it so? But what if you're not exposing that? What if you're not sharing that? What if nobody knows? What if you attended and worshiped here at Joan Chapel for years and years and years, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and then one day you die and we find out about all of the secret stuff you were carrying around, trying to carry all by yourself and never shared it with anyone? You know what we'd feel like? We'd feel like, I thought I knew her. I didn't even know her. We can be that way. We shouldn't be that way. But we've had a lot of experiences, to be honest, you and me both. We've had experiences where it didn't seem like it was safe, like I regretted later that I shared it because somebody used it against me. And of course, that can happen. That's why I say your gospel posse, you need to find, let me tell you something. It says, confess your faults one to another. Well, wait a minute. Only one person called for the elders. Don't you mean that person confessed sin? That's not what he said. He said, confess your faults one to another. So it's not just the one who's afflicted in the moment that has issues that need to be shared. Even the people who don't have afflictions, don't have obvious issues going on, they got issues on the inside too. Every one of you do, just like me. We have things we still struggle with. Some of those things we don't get free. You won't get free from until you call in the gospel posse. Why? Because God set it up that way. For us to be interdependent. So he can bring his grace from all kinds of different directions. And let me tell you, you're usually safe confessing your faults to someone else who's also confessing their faults. But if they're never sharing their garbage, they're probably not safe for you to share your garbage with them. Are you hearing me? Like, look for humility. Look for someone who is starting to own their own issues. And that's what happens sometimes if we confess our issues. All of a sudden, somebody goes, oh, wow, I'm not the only one. Huh, maybe I'm not a freak after all. You know, I struggle there too, brother. Well, can we begin to pray for one another? Yeah, let's pray for one another. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you're the God of the tangible and the intangible. You're the God in the seen realm. You're the God in the unseen realm. All of heaven, authority, Jesus said, you said all authority in heaven in the unseen realm and on earth, the seen realm, is given to you. So, Lord, we just thank you that you're trustworthy and you've shown us in your word that we should begin to be vulnerable. We should learn this. We should take some risk and be more vulnerable and honest. Take the masks off. Be real. Begin to expect your grace to come through us. Come through us and come to us from other members of the body. So, Lord, I pray you would show us as a body here at Jones Chapel in these days and months and years that this would be a ministry that we would begin to just, without legalism, without force, without any kind of formalism, we would just begin to naturally, organically begin to make these connections. Lord, I trust it's already happening. Some of us already have some connections here in the body, some for many years, that we can trust. Lord, I just pray we would begin to be more real and more honest so we can make room for an encounter with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.